Hello and welcome to the Waffle Zone. I am your host.
I am Steve. There are many other Steves, but there is only one that is me. I am Steve.
And joining me on the line, all the way over in Perth, Australia, I have Kirsty Prince, the administrator, translator, and other thing. How are you, Kirsty?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And also on the line from Kansas City, I have the horse shite guru, Matthew. How are you, Matthew?
I am awesome. Thank you. Coming to you from the kingdom, baby. It's good to see you've used your extra hour wisely with your I am Steve. You're very quick to get on that.
Well, you know, I mean.
I am Steve.
Who is me, Matt?
I don't know. I think, what do they say? Where did all the asylums go?
I am Steve in the morning, Steve in the eve, Steve in the mirror looking back saying, who is me?
Who is me, Matt?
I am Steve.
So now we're down. All the time.
Let me tell you who I am again, Matt. Great episode so far, right?
I've got to tell myself this is a family-friendly podcast, or I'd have some things to say.
I guarantee you there's somebody in Melbourne that's happy right now.
Is it, though?
Well,
it can be.
I was just thinking, for all the times that your audio cuts in and out, and it didn't do that at all then.
Kirsty, can you tell us what you listened to this past week? I know people want to hear this.
Yes, but first of all, I've got a birthday shout-out. March the 12th, when this episode comes out, it's Steve Harris's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Steve Harris.
Hey, boss.
It's the boss's birthday. The boss.
Yep.
All right. Happy birthday, man. You ever want to come on the show and talk?
He's probably heard it.
I doubt it.
Yeah. He's like, you're right.
He's probably put a cease and desist out if he'd heard it.
Is that the one where they keep playing that I Am Steve song?
Is that the one where they...
He probably likes that song.
You know, if he goes around the house singing
Yeah, he
that.
Probably walks up to his wife and he taps his wife on the shoulder and goes, hey, guess what? And she goes, what?
I am Steve.
Do you know what? Do you know when he plays that song? I reckon he plays it at about 1:45 a.m. And then at 2 a.m. it just hits him what he's done.
Yeah, he has a beer, thinks about how pathetic life is while he watches some TV, so...
look at what I've become listening to this song.
So, Kirsty.
Oh, downer. Well, I did not listen to the Mandrake Project all week because having had February, I thought it was time for a break. And I just wanted to listen to something where the music wasn't obvious, though. So I went with some Radiohead. I listened to Kid A and Amnesiac, which were both recorded in the same sessions. And it's kind of like jazz, fusion, electronic, ambient kind of music, which I know isn't for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Bends and OK Computer are brilliant rock albums. And then they kind of ditched the rock and became more experimental. And they do start to lose me a little while after these two albums as well. But, you know, because of nostalgia and everything, I really, really enjoyed just relaxing with my headphones on, doing a bit of sewing. And it's not really driving music.
Sure.
And then I thought I'll go back and listen to them in order backwards. So I'll do OK Computer next. And that's an absolute classic. That's where they started to get more progressive, but there's still plenty of singles. It's quite accessible. And then the Bends was going to be next, but I've lost my glasses, which is absolutely tragic. So I've had to buy these cheap readers that I've gotten now. And I started singing I've Been Losing You by Aha in my head while I was looking for him.
Good job,
Boomer. I put on Scoundrel Days, and I played that twice. But I did go back. I did go back and play The Bends by Radiohead.
What's your favorite track off Scoundrel Days, out of curiosity?
Oh, what's it called?
Take On Me.
The one you listen. No, it's not on that one. And the one you listen to all weekend.
Oh, Swinger Things.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And yeah, and the Bends is, you know, everybody likes that. I think it's more commercial. It's a good album. I did not listen to the one before it though. I veered off and continued with my prog. Listened to Themata by the Australian band Carnival. And
Is that the one you saw live recently?
Yeah, I saw them in December. They're live in Australia. They're doing a tour of Australia soon, but not Perth. And I understand they just did 3 Perth dates in December, but I would have gone. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Australia, have a look out for that.
Cool.
Still listening to Blaze Bailey, but I'm tending to listen to the first half. And then, like, if I get stopped, I don't finish it. I start again because I think I like the first half better.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell you for sure because of the fact that I haven't listened to the second half much. But because I don't like The Broken Man very much, I think. So you sound a bit disappointed there. You know what I'm like. I'm a bit funny about ballads sometimes.
I like that track.
Yeah.
It's like me and Face in the Mirror, isn't it? Not enough metal in this song. Yeah, and I wasn't sure to put on Saturday, and Steve was messaging me quite a bit about Ace Frehley and Kiss and stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I played a few things he suggested. And I did say to you I might try the new Ace Frehley album. Well, I started to listen to a couple of tracks, but I didn't want to. So
yeah.
I listened to Facelift by Alice in Chains. Can't go wrong there. One. Yeah.
Matt, I sent her Save Your Love. Dirty Livin'.
Yeah, you did.
Had you never heard that?
No, she'd never heard it. I was just like, listen to Ace's guitar solos in here. It's just because he reminds me a bit.
It's not the best of Kiss or my...
That is the best of Kiss.
Is it?
It's a great song.
Well, we usually play the track list of the concert we went to.
Yeah, that's not the best of Kiss.
No, it's not.
That's just greatest
put
hits.
Put a couple of crap songs on it. But anyway. And I haven't listened to the new Judas Priest. Even though I love Panic Attack, because I'm just not really into them. But I did end up listening to Stained Class.
Some
Punt Road was talking about Beyond the Realms of Death. And I ended up playing that. I thought I'd listen to the whole album. So that was good. I mean, maybe I'll get there with the new album.
Yeah, by the time they retire, you'll be a fan.
Yeah, maybe. It's got to be on the cards.
I don't think they'll retire till Rob Halford just drops dead. I think they're going to keep going as long as they possibly can. And I mean, Rob sounds, he can still bring it pretty good.
I listened to No Prayer this morning.
Okay.
I kind of fancied hearing Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. I wanted to listen to something happy, I think.
That's the one you picked.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what? I enjoyed every song on the album. Not going to lie. I
know you're every song?
Mentioned it to me, Steve.
All of
them?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bit of a shocker.
Oh, No Prayer.
Even Assassin?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a new appreciation of that song since doing the review.
Okay. Well, that's good.
In that all of it's good, really, apart from the chorus. And you know what?
Yeah.
What I found? If I sing along over it and I can't hear Bruce's unpleasant delivery and the gang vocals, it's even better. Even though
I can't hear the song the way it was recorded, it's even better.
She has the kids in the background going, better watch out.
Yeah.
When you sing up front.
She's walking.
Talking about my kids, one more thing, right? Chloe asked me what Stairway to Heaven was.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I said, oh, it's a really great song. And to my surprise, Billy agreed with me.
Oh, wow.
So we put it on. God, Chloe looked so bored. She was staring at me, giving me daggers.
Well, so what's happening with
your kids? And she goes, oh, this is so...
What's she happening
goes,
with
what
your
is
kids?
This, 8 minutes? I don't know.
I thought she was the rocker.
Yeah, I know, but she didn't know that one.
Hmm.
And she's like, this is so long. And then I thought, oh, Billy doesn't look much happier. And then Billy goes, oh, no, I was thinking of Highway to Hell.
Yeah, you can't deny any Bon Scott.
So we did listen to a little bit of Led Zeppelin. They remembered that they like Immigrant Song. So,
how does that go?
I'm not doing that now.
I think it's okay. You know how it goes, don't you, Matt?
I know. I've heard it. I don't listen to Led Zeppelin, so I mean, I know.
I think it's the part, the guitar one, was like dun 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 dun.
Oh, is it that?
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
Is that it, Kirsty? You got more?
That's as I said. I listen to a bit more than usual.
Yeah. Okay.
And
well,
podcast.
Well, set your clocks an hour ahead in the next hour, because Matthew will get us back to daylight savings time when he tells us what he listened to. Matthew.
Or not.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. What did I listen to? I also listened to some Ace Frehley.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't help myself.
You know, you've got to one up, don't you? And at the end of the day, you've got all the creative control and there's absolutely nothing I can do. I know when I'm defeated. Okay. I'll toe the family line and go along with whatever you say, Mr. Steve. All right. I listened to Ace. I feel deflated. Ace Frehley, 10,000 volts.
How'd you like it?
I do like parts of it. I do like the song 10,000 Volts. There's other parts. It's kind of like bubblegummy.
Yeah, it is.
In parts.
Did you hear the song? It's got something cute in it, in the title.
Comfortably cute.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
constantly, constantly cute.
Yeah, it's not embarrassing, but it's like, it's a bit cringe.
It's corny.
And what was the other thing we were talking about the other day? Space? Something? No, science.
Oh, it's
I can't remember the name of the songs.
It's yeah. Hold on, I got it right here.
Blame it on science.
It's just called Blinded.
Blinded by Science.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't mind the melodies and all, and you know, I don't mind him singing for the most part.
Yeah.
I was like, some of these lyrics are a little, not even cheese. Maybe they are cheese. I don't know. Overall, it's a bit of fun. It's okay. I was gonna say it's a bit of fun, but then Tattooed Millionaire is a bit of fun, and they have more fun with that. But even, what was that song that I said I didn't like?
Cherry
Medicine. I was listening to that. It just popped up. And I was like, it's kind of okay. It's a lesser end of okay.
Okay.
But it's all right. I don't think I'm going to. It's not going to be in constant rotation. I can see that. It might last a couple of weeks and it'll drift off. Mick Mars, The Other Side of Mars. I went and had a listen to this, and I'd heard the title track before, and I didn't mind the title track. Not the title track. What was it called?
The Other Side of Mars?
No, The Lie. Something about, God, what is the... Loyal to the Lie. I don't know why I called it the title track. I didn't mind that song. And the only reason I really listened to this is because there was a couple of pods I was going to listen to during the week, and they did episodes on this. And I was like, I should go listen to the album just so it's all within context and that. And the music, for the most part, is pretty decent. I don't mind some of the vocal melodies, but I don't like this processed vocal sound that they use on a lot of this album. It's... don't know, it doesn't do anything for me. I'd never go back. There was a instrumental at the end. I was like, oh my God, when does this finish? It just didn't really need to be there. It wasn't doing anything. I could see why people would like this. But when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this sounds like something from the late 90s, early 2000s maybe. And I was like, this is not really what I was into. And I can see other people liking it. It's just not for me. But what else did I have? Oh, so I listened to some Spinal Tap, because you had, I forget how this came up last week. I think I was listening to a track and just wanted to listen to some more. So this is Spinal Tap is what I went away and listened to. And I think that I'd sent you a text or a screenshot or something about what I was listening to. That's right. You were talking about Blaze's lyrics in a message to me or something, and Bruce's lyrics,
mm-hmm.
and how the melodies sometimes take over the subject matter of the songs and all this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I sent you a text. I was like, I think you said you couldn't understand the lyrics to a track or whatever. I was like, can you understand these lyrics? And I sent you the screenshot to Sex Farm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it made me laugh when I was doing that anyway. I was like, yeah, there's a little bit of a difference between what you're listening to and what I'm listening to at this very moment.
Sure.
I went off and I listened to some more Blaze, Blaze Bailey, Circle of Stone, and I'm still liking this. And I was thinking about it. I was like, there's nothing really groundbreaking on what he's done on this album. Not that that's a bad thing or whatever. It's just kind of Blaze. But I like the most part what he's done. But it's interesting what you said, Kirsty, about the second half, maybe not listening to that. Because it got
kind of like a concept a little bit, isn't it?
A little. There was a day where I was like, oh, this album seems like it's just going on and on. And it was only like halfway through it. So I can kind of see what you're saying there. But for the most part, I still really like it. Enough so that I went off and listened to some older Blaze. I went back, listened to some Silicon Messiah.
Mm.
And what's Endure and Survive and the Redemption of William Blake. Some old school Metallica. Don't usually listen to Metallica, but I'd been seeing the album cover for Ride the Lightning in a lot of different places. And I was like, oh, I haven't listened to that for a while. I should go have a bit of a listen. And I realized that last time I heard this, I had it on cassette. So I must have been in my teens. Yeah, in my teens. Good. I'm sure I have not listened to that in decades. But no, it's pretty good. I think it holds up pretty well. I would always go to something like this over anything, but no, post-1990, I guess. I'm still Draking a little bit throughout the week, the Mandrake Project. But I only gave that a few listens because I was worried that there might be a cap on the number of downloads or listens that are allowed on this album. And I've heard that some people are just milking all the listens. Some people are getting up into the 40s and higher. And I was like, well, I want to spread the wealth. I'll only listen to it four times this week. And because I don't want to burn out on it as well. But I am really enjoying
it. Yeah, that's why I took the week off from it.
It was. Well, I'd only listened to it twice before we...
Yeah, I'd done seven goes and I didn't want to burn out.
Well, yeah, I listened to it once on Sunday and then once a few days each of the week. I didn't want to listen to it twice in the same day. But I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, what I like about this album, and I think I messaged you, Kirsty, about it. It's kind of like a book, and each song is a chapter within the book. Like, they're all so different. But that's what I liked about it, the diversity within that album. So I'm still enjoying that. Some Akadaka. I had a note here. I wonder if Kirsty will know what I went and listened to from them this
Courage.
Week. Courage. Didn't. But it was the first thing that came to mind. Power Up.
Ah.
But, yeah, I went and had a listen to that. And I don't mind that. I don't know. I enjoy it. I don't think it'll ever be a classic the way, you know, some of the older stuff is, but I think it's still very, very solid.
Question, though.
Yeah?
There's a lot of talk right now because AC/DC has announced tour dates. And basically the band is going to be Brian Johnson, Angus Young, Stevie Young, you know, who replaces Uncle. And then there's another guy playing. There's a guy playing bass and a guy playing drums that are not Phil Rudd and Cliff Williams.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So they've changed drummers out before. Not having Cliff be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do? I mean, Stevie's part of the family. He's been in there and out before.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, I'm fine with that. You've got the voice.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm still okay with that.
There's a lot of people kind of, you know, all the stuff where they'll be like, oh, it's just pretty much a cover band at this point. And I'm like, you got Brian Johnson. He's been in the band since 1980.
Yeah.
You got Angus Young. You know, he's a lifer. You got Stevie Young, who... played on what tour did he play on back in the day? The one with
late '80s.
The one with That's the Way I Want My Rock and Roll.
Blow Up Your Video.
Blow Up Your. He played on the Blow Up Your Video tour. He played back then. Plus he played. You know, he's been in the band now for two or three albums, and yeah, he's toured with them for 10 years at least. So
I don't think there should be an issue with having him in there. Yeah. His ties to the band and all.
It is. It's in a Bon Scott group that I'm seeing a lot of stuff, though, I guess. So they're really biased. So.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I can see why people might be. I mean, they haven't been around for a while. Jeez, when was it? 2016?
Yeah, it's been a good while.
So that's 8 years ago. So I can see why it's like, okay, why are you coming back out now? No one asked you to come back out. I can see people saying stuff like that. But for me, if I get the chance to go see it, I'm going to.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty pricey, but.
Oh, so yeah, I did see some of the European prices.
Mm-hmm.
And this must be the last chance to grab a handful of cash from what I'd seen. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I was going to say I would go here. Maybe the price would have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would travel to see.
Sure, sure.
Like I would with Maiden or something like that.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But then the last thing, and I didn't get through this album, one that you also mentioned, Kirsty, Judas Priest, Invincible Shield. I was like, oh, I might go have a bit of a listen to this. And I only got a few tracks in. But I would like.
You're not like really big into Judas Priest either, are you?
No, I mean, I like some songs, but it's not like yeah. I really go out.
I mean, there's some songs I absolutely love, but.
Yeah.
I find it hard to listen to a whole album in one go.
One thing I have a problem with that I've heard so far is the drumming in this. Look, the drumming is just too fast, too much.
Really?
Yeah, you know that double bass drumming sometimes that bands use, and it's like, oh, the songs can't breathe. It's just too much going on within it. And that's what I noticed a little bit in this. But the sound of it, is this still that Andy Sneap producing this?
I have no idea.
Oh, because it sounds really good.
Yeah, I would assume it probably is.
Yeah, so no, the sound of it is good. It just sounds like, I don't know. Reminds me of Firepower still, okay. I guess. But that was it for the week. I'll probably go back and I'll listen to it in full at one point, but that's just one thing, just that type of drumming. It's too much.
Gotcha.
But what did you listen to besides I Am Steve? Steve?
Well, I have an acronym this week. I'm sure it's one that some of our listeners in a certain country will appreciate. And so first I started my week off. I'm going to use a little bit of Matthew ingenuity here to make this happen. You'll know what I mean in a minute. So I started my week off. I wanted to listen to some Ace. So I was listening to the 10,000 Volts album as well. And I really like it. It's kind of bubblegummy and it's kind of, you know, but it's what I expect from Ace in a way. It's, you can go back in his catalog and there's lots of songs that are just, you know, clunky, goofy lyrics and lyrical delivery, you know, just corny, you know, the songs you're not getting for all the non-fun, dark stuff. I like, I do enjoy a bit of Ace from time to time. And this album, there's so many good hooks on this album, like the catchy choruses and, like the one we were talking about that we're blinded by science and we're blinded by fear. Like I thought it was dumb at the start of the song, but when it comes in the context of the song and the melody and all the music around it, it sounds pretty good. I'm just like, I don't even care that the lyric's corny. So, but yeah. Then I wanted to listen to some Blaze. So I've got a letter A here. Now, in order to make this acronym work, we're going to use the first and last name of my second artist, Blaze Bailey. And from Blaze, I started off the week, I was just craving listening to his new album. Like, the more I listen to it, and I haven't had a problem getting through the album. So, but yeah, I've listened to Circle of Stone 3 or 4 times during the week. And one of those times, I think it was the very first time I listened to it, I just thought, man, I want to hear some more Blaze. So I just thought, let me just start working my way backwards, a la Kirsty and Radiohead. And I went to War Within Me, and I listened to War Within Me, and I thought, God, this is such a great album. It's so good. And his lyrics are so just positive.
Upbeat, positive,
and just very inspirational. I kind of thought, we went on a little hike today, or just not a hike, just a walk, and Sarah was listening to some music, and all the music. Like, she was singing one song, I can't remember, I don't know who it was by, it was Garbage, but it wasn't the band Garbage, before you say that, Matthew.
I was about to.
but it was just like the lyric in the song was, I hope the girl cheats on you the way you cheated on me. That was like the lyric in the song. That was like the main. And then there was another song she listened to where it's like, I'm a bad bee, don't F with me or something like that. And I'm just like, this is garbage that you're listening to. And I made a comment to somebody the other day and I was like, if the youth of today could really like get into an artist like Blaze and the positivity in his lyrics, man, that, and you know, cause you know how lyrics can really influence you in life and the way you think. And I just thought, man, it could really make a difference in some people because just, he's so upbeat and he's like, you know, you can do this. You can get up. You can get knocked down and get yourself back up. You know, you can pull yourself. You can get the whole, you can pull yourself up.
Man. I thought you might want to clarify that.
Yeah. You know, but you can, if you get knocked down, you can get back up again. Right, Kirsty?
Right.
I mean,
he's singing that song, Tub Thumping.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, he has the lyrics of.
Yeah. It's just like listening to a pep talk, isn't it?
Yeah, you can beat me down, but I'm still going to get back up and I'm going to keep on fighting and I'm going to win eventually. So, and I'm going to keep.
Have you seen the video, by the way?
I have not. I'm not much of a video watcher. I still haven't seen Bruce's videos either, so.
Well, Bruce's video is better than Blaze's, I suppose, but yeah, I can't really recommend any of this.
Okay. But yeah, so I listened to War Within Me. Then I just thought, okay, I got to go back further. So the next further thing is a trilogy. And I'm not going to start with album 3 on a trilogy. So I just went ahead and listened to Infinite Entanglement. Then I listened to Endure and Survive like Matt did. And then I finished up with The Redemption of William Black. I love all those albums.
So we all listened to Blaze Bailey. That's nice.
Yeah, it turned out. A lot of. And then the last letter in my acronym is going to be the first letter in this artist. I decided I wanted to listen to some more Ace Frehley.
I knew that's what it was going to be. ABBA.
I'm pulling a Matt, you know. So then later on in the week, I turn on some Ace Frehley. So, yeah, I went back to Ace and I just thought, man, you know what? I want to go through his catalog and play some stuff I haven't played in a long time. So I started at the very beginning. His debut album as a solo artist, and it was, at the time, it was called, well, I guess if you look at the album cover, it does say Ace Frehley, but it's called Frehley's Comet. And that was as a band. Then the second album, if you go to Apple Music, the second album, and there's a live album that come up under the band name Frehley's Comet. Everything else comes up under Ace Frehley, which I don't get it. Why don't you stick everything under Ace if you're going to do that? So I listened to Frehley's Comet, then I listened to their second album called Second Sighting, and I like how most of his albums have some kind of space. He has lots of songs with titles about space and, you know, walking on the moon and different things. And the next album, Matthew, is one I know you're familiar with, Trouble Walking.
Yeah.
I love Trouble Walking. It's a great album.
I like that song.
Yeah. So then you have to wait from 1989 is when that came out. You have to wait all the way till 2009 for his next album, which was called Anomaly. And there's some stuff on there I like. Then the next album after that, 3 or 4 years later, is called Space Invader. I really like Space Invader. I think it's a great album. Then he put out an all covers album called Origins Volume 1, where he had just stuff that influenced him or whatever.
Oh, that's what you were sending me.
Some of them, yeah.
That's from.
Some of
them. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, which one did you? That's it. Good times, bad times.
Send me a Led Zeppelin song, and
yeah, the Led Zeppelin song is on Origins Volume 2. He has two of these albums, and then Space Truckin' was also on that.
That's right.
That was on that one too.
That was a good version.
I liked it. Yeah, because it got going, and I just thought, man, I was just kind of nodding along, and I was like, man, this is good. I like this song, and then when it finally got to the chorus, come on, I was like, oh my God, this is that song Iron Maiden butchered. or mainly Bruce. So
I was gonna say, yeah, Bruce did.
Yeah. After Origins Volume 1, I realized that there was an old live album or EP that came out from Frehley's Comet. And so I went back in time and listened to Live Plus One. It's like 4 or 5 live tracks, and there's one studio song. Then after that, I went to the next album, which was called Spaceman, which I didn't like that one as much. After that, I listened to his next studio album, which was another, The Origins Volume 2. So he has two of those albums. The Origins Volume 1 actually has a song with Paul Stanley singing on it, too. So that was kind of cool when they did that. They did a music video for it and everything. And I remember the build-up was pretty cool. After I listened to Origins, I had already listened to 10,000 Volts during the week. So I was like, I did. I went through every Ace album. And I was like, oh, wait, there's one more. So then I went all the way back to 1978, and I listened to his solo album in Kiss. Ace Frehley, Matthew.
Yeah.
So, Kirstie, do you remember recently when I told Matt that I had listened to the album Paul Stanley, the solo album from Kiss, and he asked me, which album was it?
Yes, I do remember that. Like, not everybody knows every single thing about Kiss and their
Well, but he knows. But when albums. I say it's a solo album by Paul Stanley,
like probably, I feel like probably Matt should.
Under the Kiss moniker, and Matt goes, really, really. What was the Kiss album called?
was there a chance that maybe I was doing something else?
Yeah, there's
time?
There's a chance that you
there's
were
a massive chance.
there's a chance that you were on NyQuil.
Oh, was that
so that tells me, Kirstie, that he hasn't officially listened to that episode yet. So,
I do believe him.
Yeah. So
even though I've just said that, he can't be trusted.
Yeah.
No. I believe he wouldn't listen to that.
And then after I listened to the Ace Frehley solo album, I did play the album 10,000 Volts again. So, and then I started listening to then I listened to Space Invader again.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep repeating every album I listen to over and over, even though I've already said I listened to it.
You don't have to do that.
Someone's got to pick up the slack for Matt this week.
Well.
Nah. I was on this kick. I just thought, and I'll be honest, the album Spaceman and Origins Volume 2, it was the first time I'd ever listened to either of those, so.
Well, I thought about going back and listening to some of the oldest and stuff. Now, I had the Frehley's Comet, and I thought it... What was the very first one called? Was it just Frehley's
just
Comet?
Just Frehley's Comet.
I had that. I had Rock Soldiers on it. Was there one Second Sighting, but what was on that?
Second Sighting has, like, Insane. It's got Juvenile.
Does it have a ballad? Like a big ballad on it?
Yeah, I'm pulling the album up right now just to read them off here. You got Insane, you got Time Ain't Running Out, which was a Todd song. His singer was Todd Howarth, his other singer.
Yeah, big blonde-haired guy.
Yeah, Dancing with Danger was a good song on there. The ballad was It's Over Now. Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one, man. I love this album, man. I was listening, I was like, this album is really good. I really enjoyed it.
So I must have had three then, because when you talked about Trouble Walking, I just had to look through the song listings. Now, this is so long ago. I had these back on cassette.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I just saw the track Do Ya. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Chock Full of Rock. Yeah, that was in Hide Your Heart that we talked about during the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might go give that a bit of a listen during the week. I didn't mind that back in the day.
I really enjoyed most of the Frehley's, the first album. There's a few songs I don't really love, but... the second album I like a lot more. That's the tour. They were touring Second Sighting whenever I saw them open for Maiden. And I was on eBay looking for shirts. It's like for some Ace. I thought I'd just get a cool shirt with Ace on the picture, like a, you know, with his makeup. And I saw a picture of the shirt that I bought because I bought an Ace. I think I must have bought four shirts at that show. Because I had one shirt from Ace's band, but it was a medium. I remember they were sold out of everything else because, you know, he was in Kiss, so naturally. Then I had one of those baseball sleeve style shirts.
Yeah.
Then I had one that had the Can I Play with Madness picture with the hand through the brain or whatever. And maybe that's all I got. I might have got three. So I had a long sleeve, short sleeve made, and then I had the Ace Frehley shirt, which was disappointing to not be able to get a long sleeve. Or a large even. But that was me for the week as far as music goes. Yeah, just Ace Frehley and Blaze Bailey and just really enjoyed it. And so, Matt, what does that make my acronym for the week?
ABBA. I could see that coming. I was like, this has to be ABBA.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought about it. I was like, I'm not going to be able to make an acronym, but ABBA, yeah. So what about a podcast, Kirstie? Did you listen to any podcasts this past week?
Yeah, just a few. Listen to Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Really enjoyed hearing us talk about their Mandrake project and listening to Matt's big reveal.
Oh, God.
And, of course, the Waffle Zone, which I hadn't heard. That was new to me because I wasn't there, but I guess we'll get into those some more in a minute.
Should we mention though, that when you say the big reveal, if you're a Patreon, then you know exactly what that big reveal is, because Matt was going insane.
He spent about an hour. Every single thing he said was calculated to make us think that he was unprepared and he was going to hate every single song.
Yes.
I don't know what I said to indicate that. I don't remember saying.
You can listen to it back because it's recorded for the Patreons.
Yeah, it's on Patreon.
So
it's all there.
You can listen to it if you want to.
Caught in the act, Matthew.
Apparently.
I'm just saying now, you know what you did.
He did a good job. I'll give him that. He did a good job at it.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I was like, because I was sure you were going to come in prepared, but...
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay. At a certain point, she wasn't.
You always do, and Steve's worried about this before, and you've always come in prepared when he's worried about what you're going to do. But as the hour was going on, I was starting to have doubts myself.
To the point of asking me, well, maybe we should just ask Matt if he wants to just take this week off.
Exactly.
Yes, that was the funniest part of that. Well, because I didn't know about that until you sent me the message during the week.
That's right. I sent you a snippet, but the whole thing's pretty funny.
Making a copy while there's...
In hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah, in hindsight, yeah, exactly.
Couple of minutes and there's talk of ousting me. Should we just get rid of him for this one?
Yep.
And I won't say what you said, Steve, but yeah.
Maybe it's for the best.
Perhaps it's a family-friendly show.
Yeah.
I listened to Wayne's Iron Maiden podcast, of course, and he did Out of the Silent Planet. It's a bit weird to say, but I don't listen to Brave New World that often. And he's got very different thoughts on his album than I have. So I think maybe we should do this sometime so that...
Oh, we're going to do it one of these days.
Get everything clear in my head. But yeah, the last three, I haven't really agreed with him that much. But I have enjoyed listening to it. Obviously, Music for a Lifetime. Got a couple of those in. Metal Cavern.
There was
an episode about Queen 2, which was very interesting to hear him talk about the experimental nature of the songwriting and the studio techniques and that sort of thing. And, you know, I said I was having a break from Bruce, but I had to hear the Mandrake Project episode.
Yeah.
Which means I didn't have a break because he played four of the songs in full. And I thoroughly enjoyed each of those four songs as standalone songs. So that was pretty cool.
Can I make a comment about his podcast real quick?
Yes, you can.
Just to clarify my position, every single episode of his podcast starts off with, "You're listening to Metal Kevin Podcast Network." So, I mean, it backs me up. I mean, I just want to share that.
That's not what I've heard.
And I further ruined my week of no Bruce by listening to Metal Chat with Melissa's. It was only 18 minutes. They talk about his solo work as well. And Metal Mayhem, which I've never listened to before, they did an interview with Roy Z talking about the making of the album, which was really interesting. And, you know, there was lots of really new facts coming up about the making of the album. But the thing that I was most shocked by was... that Dave Murray apparently approached Roy Z to talk about making a solo album. And I kind of wonder what that would be like and who would sing on it and what form that would take. I don't think it's going to happen, but...
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was basically...
pretty surprising.
From what I heard, it would be Roy Z, Dave Murray, Adrian Smith, Yannick Gers, Chris Dale, and Bruce Dickinson. And it's going to be called The Dave Murray Project.
Oh, that's really sad because you broke up just as
Okay,
you said just whatever was meant to be funny.
I was like, yeah, I'll trust that what you said was funny because you laughed. I didn't hear any of it.
It was funny. You'll laugh
so
later.
Sorry.
You'll laugh later. It was probably gold.
I bet it was good, and I'll definitely laugh when I hear that on Tuesday.
You'll just be like,
the world's a sadder place that we've all missed out on that.
Yeah. Okay. And just to be serious for a second, I listened to And Volume for All, because Bill from Music from a Lifetime posted this on Twitter, and this was about Ronnie James Dio Part 4 Side B. And he said, "This episode made me cry. I had the same loss as Quinn 27 years ago, and now I'll never hear Children of the Sea again." Mm. And I correctly guessed it was about pregnancy loss, and I went in and listened anyway. Well, it was amazing. I mean, I did cry quite a lot as well when I listened to it, but I think it happens to a lot of people, and they don't always talk about it, and it's really good because we don't hear from the dads enough, and I think that this story might help someone. And that is all the podcasts I listen to.
Hmm. Follow that up, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know what to say now. Sometimes there's dads you hear too much from.
Like the ones on this show.
One of them just laughs.
Yeah, it's true. This is true.
So I listened to something that you had already talked about last week's, Mr. Stephen. Talk is Jericho, Afterglow of the Mandrake Project.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I enjoyed listening to this. You know, he talks about some of the stuff he was doing with John Lords and the orchestra and the stand-up show, his upcoming tour and all. But I like the relationship that he seems to have with Jericho, where they're pretty comfortable talking to each other. Yeah. And obviously Jericho's come out more than once or twice and said, you know, he's a Maiden fanboy and all. But Bruce just seems really comfortable speaking to him. It's not like, it's a proper conversation, not a question-answer type of thing. So it was good. I came away just feeling really content. I had a smile on my face listening towards the end of that. So I was like, I don't know, it was a good one. Music from a Lifetime. Sorry?
I just had a funny question I was going to ask you, and I just thought how dark of a question it was.
To ask me or Kirsten?
Yeah, you.
Hey, what was that?
Okay. Didn't you say something about maybe... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Didn't you say something about maybe wanting to hang yourself after hearing it?
You're a naughty boy. You're a filthy little animal sometimes, aren't you? Anyway, I'm not going to entertain that. I'd forgotten all about your dirty comments.
Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go listen to the Talk is Jericho and hear what Bruce said about when people hang themselves.
Oh, yes, I didn't get the context of that correctly the first time you mentioned that. I thought it was went in a different direction, but that just makes it even
It was
crazy.
Meant, yeah, when you went the wrong direction, I just went with you so you would just stop.
so I would stop. I hadn't started anything.
Sorry.
He brings this up in every interview. He's obviously very fascinated by this story.
Oh, gosh, that was funny.
Listen, you're quite chuffed with yourself, really, aren't you?
That was a good one. I'm sorry. Anyway. I literally thought about it after you mentioned it. I thought, oh, my God, I should ask that, and it just made me start laughing. Continue, please. Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you there. Music from a Lifetime, Blaze Bailey, Circle of Stone. So I was excited to hear that he was going to do an episode on this because I'd only just listened to the album at one time. And actually, I think we were recording when I realized that this was coming out last Sunday, I think it was. Yeah. So I had another listen to the album before, and I only had a slip once with this album. And it was like the one day where I said, oh, is this still going? But I've listened to it about four or five other times. And I really enjoyed it. There was some things that Bill had said where some of the tracks he maybe doesn't...
He didn't like the slow ones.
Yeah, and that's kind of...
That was on Bruce. I think he doesn't like...
He doesn't like the ballads.
Slow ones in general.
Yeah, he says it sucks the life out of it, but it slows the pace of the album more. Takes you out of the pace, something to that effect. Whereas I did like the tracks. I thought the track with the Welsh girl... I can't think what it's called, but it reminded me of another track, which I also can't think what it's called, from within the trilogy. And I like when Blaze works with someone else where their voices are so different. Like, the girl's voice is really nice, and just the contrast with Blaze. But, you know, he came away just very favorable about the Blaze album, and I think it's pretty hard not to. I think if you like Blaze, you're going to be happy with what you're going to get. What else do we have? Some metal chat with Melissa. So her and her friend Joe were discussing the Mick Mars album, and this is why I'd end up going to listen to the Other Side of Mars album. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, if I'm going to listen to this episode, I should really go listen to the album so I understand what they're talking about. And it sounds like, for the most part, we all kind of agreed on the vocals, or at least my opinions seem to have lined up with Melissa's. Just the vocals and the processing sound, I just don't care for it. His melodies and all that are fine. I just don't like the way that they come across. But this is not an album I'm going to go and listen to. And I thought they did a pretty decent job with the subject matter that they discussed. And I'd be in agreement with what they said for the most part. What else did we have? Uncle Steve's Mandrake Project episode. So this was one I really enjoyed the whole discussion, regardless of how it played out. I really enjoyed just talking about that episode. And I was like, oh, we spoke for 3.5 hours or something last Sunday, and I could have gone on longer. I just had a really good time, set my weekend up really well. And it was just nice to talk about some new brews, and it was good.
It was nice to talk about something we liked, wasn't it? Because I think it was a bit of a downer that we did the Tattoo Millionaire and Balls to Picasso album battle, and it was basically pretty much every song got slated by somebody.
Maybe that's what it was. It was so refreshing to like something. Yeah, I never thought about it like that. But no, it was really good. And like I said, I got a laugh out of your message to me, Kirsty, where I was privy days after the recording as to, what did you say, Steve? I think that Matt's going to...
He's going to
ruin it. I said that you were going to ruin it.
Yeah, you were a little harsher with some of your words than ruin. I think he's going to do what the seagull did in Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah, he did say that as well at some
stage. He's going to do this to this. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd play that clip for you right now, but he did.
Because I had no idea that was the conversation that was taking place.
So while everyone join Patreon and then you can hear it.
Yes. Now we're going to try and take me out. But that was all I listened to for the week. Just a few. Oh, hang on. Sorry.
Okay.
No, Bruce's Mandrake Project. Music from a lifetime as well. So, yeah, same sort of thing. I had a big gap between the two different lists here. Music for a Lifetime, Mandrake. So, God, I'll tell you what. It was lucky that that Bill was here to pick up the slack, Kirsty, since you weren't listening to the album.
Mm.
And he had done it 45 times.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've woken up to one of the tracks with the chorus in my head. Many.
I had all the songs in my head all week, even though I didn't listen to it. Like,
yeah.
Things just kept popping in and popping in. And, yeah.
Many Paths to Hell. That was the one I wasn't too sure about last week. And I've woken up with that chorus.
That was an absolute banger. Like, when you heard it on its own on the podcast as well, you think, well, that would have been such a great single.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that now. But he was very favorable again. He had some things, like some of the background history and all that, and the origins of some of the tracks I like, where he gets into all those sorts of things. It was funny, even Taylor Swift has made its way into his podcast. She got a bit of a mention as far as the chart.
Yeah,
we're spreading the word.
Yep.
Yeah, I just heard that. And
yeah, some of the tracks that he was less favorable for were the end tracks, and that's some of the finest moments, I thought. But no, I enjoyed that. And then lastly, the Kiss Asylum Kiss podcast also did an episode on the Mick Mars album, Other Side of Mars. And they were very favorable on that, more so than I was, but it seems like they thought that was a bit of a banger.
That's cool.
That was me for the week. Did you have any other comments there, Kirsty?
You got to do your podcast, Steve.
Yeah, I did listen to some podcasts. For me, I listened to quite a few, actually. I listened to a couple of Jim Florentine, like his Patreon, his his newest episode. I think it was T-shirts, bad T-shirts, I think. Or worst T-shirts, whatever. I listened to Top 5 with Joey Quesada. I haven't listened to his podcast in a while. And this episode, let's see when this episode actually came out, because it was kind of funny listening to it, because I haven't played one of his episodes in a while. And I've emailed those guys before a couple of times. Like, just one time I was like, after I got off the show, and I was like, sent him an email, and that got a little non-responsive, you know, by one of the guys. And it was kind of like, I was kind of bummed about that, because I was like, oh man, I thought we connected. I thought I was going to be coming back on the show, you know, but it got, because they're so funny. But this episode came out right around Christmas. And it was their 100th episode. It was just called Top. It was basically the top five moments, because the show is called Top 5. And I loved it. It was just, you know, it's just the same old, the three guys, they're funny, they're all joking around. And toward the end of them, one of the guys goes, he starts talking about Ozzy and the Bark at the Moon album. And he goes, yeah, what was that guy? And he starts to say, cousin somebody, cousin something. And and then the other guy, Ernie, starts going, no, you're talking about Uncle Steve. And I'm like, how'd I come up? He goes, yeah, because when Uncle Steve was on here, we were talking about this album. I have to admit, you were right, Uncle Steve. You were right about the drumming on this album. And so he kind of went on back and forth. And I was driving, you know, my big truck down the road, and I remember I just literally just stuck my fist in the air when he started saying I was right. It was pretty funny. But I was like, well, at least they remembered me. I guess I made an impression enough, so. And the guy was like, yeah, we got to get Uncle Steve back on the show. And in my mind, I'm going, yes, I want to come back on. They were I laughed so hard when I was on the show with those guys.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, gosh, it was so funny. And I remember the whole time I just kept thinking, like, it just sounded like I would get caught up listening. Like, I was just listening to a show, then I'd realize, oh, crap, I got to say something. This is awesome.
Yeah, I used to do that when I was first on with you two. I'd just be sat there listening to it, and then I'd remember I was supposed to talk sometimes.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, so I listened. So that episode was good. And I listened to another episode with Joey Quesada on it. He's on another podcast called Podcast Rock City, which is a KISS podcast. And I don't know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but Joey Quesada, he plays drums on half of Ace's 10,000 Volts album. He's on 5 songs. And he demoed, like, the whole album with Ace and the producer. So he was on there, so the episode is called Joey Quesada Shares Stories About Recording 10,000 Volts with Ace Frehley. And it was just a great episode, and they kind of went through each song really quickly, and he told little stories about each song and how the drummer that replaced him on 3 or 4 songs was Anton Figg. And I don't know if Matt knows this, but I'm sure he would care to notice this. Anton Figg is the guy who played drums on 8 out of the 9 songs on Dynasty. And yeah, he played all the drums on Unmasked. He was the drummer on Ace's first solo album, Frehley's Comet. That Live Plus One little concert thing, the song Breakout is on there, and there's a little cool drum section there, and God, he just kills it on the album, on that live set. It's so good. And there's another, Anton Figg also played drums on Ace's 1978 solo album too. So the song Rip It Out, which is live on Live Plus One, there's a real cool little drum solo section fill, and it's like listening to the album. He just nails it so good. And then there's this big, long drum solo on a live EP, 5 songs. There's a drum solo. And it's just so cool to listen to Anton Figg play, because I was like, he would have been a really good fit with KISS, too. He was a powerful player like Eric Carr was. So it's really cool to hear that. But it was cool to hear Joey talk about playing with Ace. And he was like, the first day they were over at this producer's house, they were waiting for Ace to show up. And Ace was like 7 hours late. And he said he was pulling into a CVS parking lot, and he hit a curb, and he popped his tire, and he had to have someone come out. And then I guess he has a fancy car. He didn't have the right kind of key to get into the back of the car where the tire was. And he said he got these. Like, I was like, Ace, what are you stopping at CVS for? He's like, oh, I wanted to pick up some cashews. he said, sure enough, he pulls out a CVS bag, and he's got a big thing of cashews. He's like, yeah, you want a cashew? And he says, so we started eating cashews. It's just kind of a funny story. But it was really cool. It just an episode, and they were talking, you know, a lot about Ace and stuff. So, and let's see, another one I listened to was the Osbournes podcast. They had one, I think it's their most recent one. It was called Reunion, Kanye West, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Taylor Swift's Stalker. And I don't know if y'all heard about the Kanye West stuff with Ozzy Osbourne. Probably not. He had sampled or requested to sample a Black Sabbath song.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and they in no uncertain terms told him hell no, because Kanye West is literally comes out and just says he's anti-Semite, right? Just I'm willing to just hate a whole group of people. So I think Ozzy's wife is Jewish. So they were like, hell no. And then Kanye West went ahead and used it anyway. And, I mean, the crap was going to hit the fan, you know. They made a big deal out of it and posted a big post. And they're like, you know, you're screwing with the wrong people. And so on the episode they mention it, Jack's like, okay, what's the deal with Kanye West? And she just goes, all I'm going to say is that the song he put out with that has been pulled and taken down. He's removed it. So I guess they felt the wrath of the weight of what the Osbourne
Sharon.
Family. Yeah, exactly. What she can, you know, if you've heard stories about her dad.
Yes.
Her dad was a mean, badass dude he's the kind of guy that you would hear about in the old days that would literally hang somebody over the edge of a building and threaten to throw them out if they wouldn't sign a contract, you know, a horrible contract for themselves. Another thing that on this episode, they called it, it says Taylor Swift, I can't say her name right now, Taylor Swift Stalker. And apparently there's a guy who, because a lot of celebrities have their own jets, you know, and, you know, they're all concerned with the, and I'm putting quotation marks up, the carbon footprints of these people, you know, and... So apparently, if they have their own jet, there's I don't know if you'd call it a serial number, but it's a certain number on the airplane that every time they log a flight, it's out there in public place. And there's this guy that has, I don't know if he has a Twitter page or a Facebook page or whatever, but every time he has a list of celebrities and every time they go anywhere, he posts it because of
This happened a few years ago. I think it was Elon Musk.
Yes. That gets mentioned too. And I guess with Elon Musk, they gave him they came to an agreement to give him like 48 hours grace period or something before they announced it. But they're making a big stink about this, their carbon footprint, because they're flying around too much and doing all this. And I mean, I'll just give you my God honest opinion. All that carbon footprint is a bunch of BS, in my opinion. I could care less who flies. The world's a strong enough place. People flying jets ain't going to do nothing to it. So, and if someone thinks I'm wrong, I don't even care. I don't want to hear about it. I just thought, it's how stupid. And these people are making a big stink to these celebrities about it. And I know the reason they make the stink, though, is because these celebrities come out and they're talking about people that do this stuff, and then they're the ones doing it the worst. So I get why they do it, but they were just talking about, and Kelly, his daughter, said, you know, because Taylor Swift is a woman, it's putting her more at risk, because, you know, she's the most famous person in the world, and there's I can't even imagine how many people would be trying to find her, looking for her. There was a story that Kelly said that one time her and somebody else were hanging, or they found out that Kelly was friends with somebody that was friends with Taylor Swift. And they said, literally, when that news came out 2 days later, there were guys that showed up at the Osbournes' house looking for Taylor Swift. Like, so that, but it's like, to put out where this girl's going to be, and anybody for that sake, you're basically telling them, yeah, she's on her way to, on a flight now to New York. Now she's going on a flight to Kansas City. Oh, now she's on a flight to Australia. Now, you know, and that's really dangerous for people, I think. But what he's doing is technically not illegal, because all of the information is public knowledge. He's just putting it all in one place where people can readily get it.
If he feels very strongly about it and he wants to make that public knowledge, you could, like you said with Elon, just give it a couple of days so she's not there anymore.
Right, yeah.
If that's what he feels he has to do.
Yeah, it's just, it's, but I mean, for anybody, really, for any celebrity person that has a following of any kind, it's a threat to their safety.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me, while it is public knowledge, I mean, he's taken it and thrown it at the forefront, like you said. But I think the other thing is Taylor Swift has now, her side of things has sued this guy or done something to try to put a stop to it, and really that's just going to make it worse, I think. So, but it was an interesting conversation. But I was like, when they started talking carbon, you know, footprint, the next words out of my mouth are like, oh, for F's sake, you know, who cares? I could care less. I'm not a world saver. I drive a car that's a hybrid car, and I've always told people I don't care about the environment at all. I only care about gas mileage, you know. So, I'm not a very nice person, and Kirsty can confirm this, but I don't want her. I do not want her to read the message I sent her that would confirm I'm not a very nice person. Remember, it was
but that I replied to it.
How are we even friends? Oh man, I told Vanessa about that too.
Oh my god, you are the worst sometimes. But look, yeah, here I am.
I can be the worst. I can be the worst, and I can be the best. So. Not the best, but you know. So, okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that, though, because that whole carbon footprint thing, as soon as they said it, I was just like, oh, God. Of course, and the Osbournes, you know, they believe all that, or they might believe it. I don't know.
Would you rant about carbon footprint when you badly don't want anyone to ever discuss politics with you?
No, when I heard it, I was just like, oh, God, really? And the thing is, it's like because the Osbournes were talking about it, and then Sharon stopped and she goes, well, let me just propose something here. And they go, yeah, let's say we had our own we could get our own airplane like that. And she goes, I don't mean a little airplane. Like, I mean a really nice big, you know, like what Taylor Swift has. She goes, we would do it. We would go anywhere we wanted, wouldn't we? And they were like, yeah. Then she goes, so would anybody else. You know, it's just all BS talk and people wanting to sound holier than thou, just like Taylor Swift's or whoever, going out and saying all that stuff. And then they're the ones that, you know, fly in the jets and go everywhere. And who cares? I don't care. So, but it just...
you don't care?
I love it when you don't care about...
Just having to hear about it annoyed.
You've ranted for 5 minutes, but you don't care.
Just having to hear about it. I know, but just having to hear about it annoyed me. I was just like, oh God, these people, come on.
I don't care about the planet and I don't like Dio either, but I'll rant about both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think what I said about the other thing that Kirstie said, how are we still friends, would be more alarming to people, but we won't go there.
Kirstie's got the goods on you.
Yeah, she does. She does. She knows where the bodies are buried.
I'll tell you later, Matt.
Yeah. So another podcast that I listened to that Matt will be pretty excited to hear about was I listened to one called Naked City. There are 10 million stories. I'm not looking for pity, though. Unfortunately, Matt does not get it.
In the Naked City. I was trying to think of how Gene does it.
The Naked. Yeah, buddy. That's the best song on Gun. That's my Naked City. Yeah, it's my favorite song on the best. Yeah.
Good track. Really good track.
Yeah. So Matt had talked last week about this guy that was a killer. And when he started talking about how they treated certain types of criminals in jail, I immediately was like, okay, I want to hear this episode. Because that's the kind of stuff you always want to hear. Is like, you know. And so one I listened to here was called Mark Chopper Reed's Legacy of Violence. And it was a pretty interesting episode. And for some reason, Matthew, after that episode was over, something else of his somehow queued up. I don't even follow him, but another episode started playing. And it was called 73 Seconds to a Tragic Death. And so I just thought, what the hell? I'll just listen to another one, you know? It was only 20 minutes long. So it was a very sad tale of a young kid that got shot by police a long time ago. So, but I found him pretty interesting. So I did go and cherry pick a few episodes to try and listen to. So I thought kind of interesting, and you know, it's all on the other side of the planet, so it doesn't have to freak me out. So,
yeah,
another
it's all old stories usually too. So yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I found him pretty interesting. Another episode I listened to was from Feckin' Metal, his Neil K Part 3, and I enjoyed that as well. And on the end of the episode, Neil Case is like, you know, you can give my number and or my email out to any podcasters that might want to talk to me and all that stuff. And when I was listening to it, I just thought, I don't see any reason to talk to him because I think Fett covered it all. Like, he covered anything I would want to know. Like, I would, if I thought if I got him on my podcast, it would just be more of the same, really.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of the same people listening, don't you, as well?
Yeah, so I thought, I just thought, there's no
you know, reason. If you wanted to, that's an option.
I mean, I just, when I heard him, I just, because I, someone had already reached out to me that apparently listened to that part three before I did, and they were like, hey, man, he come on there, and he said this, and he goes like, man, it'd be really cool if you could get him on, and I was just like, yeah, it kind of would, but after I got done, I just thought, I mean, he's already said it all. I mean, really, it would be kind of dumb for me to have him on, really. It'd be cool to talk to him, I guess, but I just thought, you know, Feck did a great job with it, so there's no need for me to, I don't know. That's just how I felt in my mind. Like, it might be a good move, like, as far as getting extra listens and stuff like that, but I just thought, I'm not really in it for that, for just that, you know? You want listens, but not for that sake. I also listened to music from a Lifetimes episode on the Metal Kevin Podcasting Network, The Mandrake. I think it was just called The Mandrake Project. I meant to say earlier, too, I had no desire whatsoever this week to listen to Bruce's album again. I just literally, once Monday hit, the first thing I think I thought of was, man, I want to hear Blaze's new album again. And I thought I would listen to Bruce's album again, but I feel like, and you can tell me, Kirsty, since you did not listen, maybe Matt would feel the same way, but I feel like if I hear it, it's got to be all in one sitting. Because that,
yes.
I don't think that's an album where you want to hear three songs, stop it for an hour, and then turn it back on and hear about four more.
Yeah, that's it. I wanted to wait, and also I wanted to wait for my physical copy to arrive, and I wanted to listen to it in one go.
Yeah.
Well, it had me thinking, like people say, what's your favorite tracks and all this sort of thing. And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm not cherry picking a track out just to listen to that. Like, I want to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, but you can still
45 times in a row.
I just, when someone asked me that, I just went with the one that I picked whenever we did our things.
I am Metal Steve talking.
Metal Steve?
Yeah, yes. when you turn into a robot. Like Metal Mickey?
Hey, he wouldn't know Metal Mickey. Yeah. I was trying to look at Metal Mickey a couple of months ago.
Okay. So I also listened to that music from a Lifetime, and I could not believe it when he said, yeah, I've listened to the album 45 times. I'm like, that's like two full days of your life that you've spent listening to it. God.
Well, that's right. It hadn't been out that long, had it?
I know.
Just mere days.
And I think
he must have been doing it while he was asleep.
Yeah. But he might have been exaggerating, because he did say on Twitter earlier that this one Motorhead album came out that he said today was the anniversary of when it came out, Matthew. You know how many years ago he said it came out? He said it came
out. My guess is it's 30.
He said it came out 525 years ago. So I'm assuming, you know, he might be exaggerating. He could be exaggerating. Maybe he's exaggerating. I was like, damn, I didn't realize Lemmy was that old.
The influence that he's had.
Yeah. So I tried to listen to one other podcast. It was Metal Melissa's podcast. You know, she had the one episode came out and there was something wrong and she fixed it. And the new one came out. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and give this a listen. When her boy on there started going on about Ace a little bit, I just had to shut it off. I couldn't. I was like, I'm not listening to this guy. It was like every little cliched thing that I felt like that people will say about it. And I just thought, I don't want to hear just somebody crap all over the album. So sorry, Melissa, but I couldn't listen. I looked him up on YouTube or whatever to the link, and I looked, and he had already done his own episode about Ace. Like, oh, so he just wanted to come on here and crap some more on him, you know?
Maybe he was asked for an opinion.
I'm sure he was, but it just, I couldn't be asked to listen to his. So, but it just, he and I think Melissa was kind of ride along with him, talking about everything the same way. And I was just like, I can't. I was, my blood, I was starting to have Balls to Picasso flashbacks with Matthews.
Oh, God.
I was like, I got to.
This time change has really affected you from the sounds of it. You're just grumpy.
Yeah, I've been kind of. Someone asked me earlier, they said, man, you're being quiet today. And I go, I'm mad at the government because they won't change this stupid law. This stupid thing about.
About the daylight savings.
Yeah. They keep saying every year that they're going to change it. Oh, yeah, we're working on it. It's a bill and, you know, they're going to write it up and do whatever. And it's going to, like, it serves no purpose. When there was no electricity, sure, it made sense. That way people could work when it's daylight. Now we have electricity. We have lights. We have, you know, whatever. So.
There'd be light.
Yeah.
And there was light, yeah.
That means you're using more electricity, which is bad for the environment.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care about the environment.
You're damn right, I don't.
I
don't. I mean, greenies. Look, the environment, the way I care about, here's the way I care about the environment, okay? I don't think that people, you know, when there's not businesses, but like, you know, a company spilling millions of gallons of oil into the ocean and destroying animals and things, that's bad. An airplane that's emitting jet fumes or whatever, oh, who cares, you know?
Okay.
That's, you know, I probably care a little more about the environment than I'm saying, but.
Blinded by science.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're blinded by fear, so.
Mm.
You know, you know, I'll, okay. So. Now, Matthew,
yeah,
we're going to move on to Twitter and go over the, yes. We're going to move on to Twitter and, Matthew, are you okay over there?
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello. Can you hear me? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Matthew.
What's happening?
I don't know, Matthew. What is happening?
Oh, okay.
You all right?
Yeah.
You sure? You sound like someone just told you they heard an obscure Dio song.
Oh, no, I'm okay. Something caught my eye. It just amused me.
Okay.
On Twitter?
Obviously. Yeah. Well, let's get to, we got a Kirsty. Matt?
Yeah, I'm good.
You okay?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So
hang on, I need to get off the screen. All right, now I'm good. Because if I keep looking at this, I'm just going to laugh. Okay, sorry. All right, I'm good.
Okay. So we have a lot of tweet quotes and retweets this week. So Kirsty has informed me there's quite a few. So we're going to get right to them here. Last week, this is off the episode that we did, the Matthew. Do you need a paper bag over there?
Sorry.
Matthew, Kirsty, does he sound like he's okay?
I think he needs to put a blanket over himself.
Okay. So here, I'll... What? Matthew?
This is way too much. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good. Sorry. Oh, God, this is so stupid. But it just made me laugh.
You know...
It's juvenile.
Kirsty. Kirsty, you know how... Kirsty, you know how Matt is. Let me show you how Matt is, Kirsty, while I start reading some of these here. So we have the repost... On the episode that was about the Bruce Dickinson album. Matthew, what was the episode we did last week?
Mandrake Project.
Who's the singer on that?
Bruce Dickinson.
Who played guitar?
Roy Z.
Okay, he's making sure. You're still there.
Yeah, I've got the log down. I know who's on there.
Can you give me the captain's log on the album, Matthew, of everybody that played on it, please?
Oh, I've got a bit of chance of trying to do something else right now.
Okay.
Oh, you know when you... It's okay.
What?
Just talk.
What? Kirstie, are you okay?
No.
Oh, man. Okay. So we have the Scouse chatbot 1.0, David Laird in Liverpool, England. He shared it. Thane of the Woods in Indiana. He shared it. The Scouse chatbot 2.0, Lauren Laird in Liverpool, England. She shared as well. Johnny B. 1966 in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Matt, are you still with me? Matt, who played...
He's on mute.
Oh. Alex N. Madeira from Tabate, Brazil. He shared it. Wayne Schuell at Russell and West Madison Streets. He shared it as well. A very handsome man, Kirsi, from Finland.
Hey, Bella.
Then we have the official detention teacher of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Gen Maruyatani in Chiba, Japan. Then we have Simeon from France.
Paris?
Is he from Paris?
Pretty much, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know, I wonder...
Man on the street, isn't he?
Matthew, did you know that Paris is where Bruce got married?
That was the word on the Parisian streets.
Yeah, okay. He is. I think William Shatner was even maybe from... Unmute yourself! Unmute yourself now, Matthew. What is it about William Shatner that's so funny?
Nothing, just talk.
Okay, so Simeon. I heard one of Simeon's neighbors was 103 years old, Kirsty. I wonder who that could be.
Maybe.
You're still doing this?
I think William Shatner's almost 103 years old, actually.
Could be, yeah. He's pretty old.
Let me ask you a question off the subject here, Kirsty. Were you ever a fan of Star Trek?
No.
You know, William Shatner, he kept a captain's log of everything, of every planet and every ship they saw.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, weren't you the one telling me about the captain's log? Matt, why are you muted? I can't hear you.
He's 92.
Matthew?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you told me, though, that William Shatner kept the captain's log? You were telling me about that, right?
Who knows? Oh, sorry.
I mean, okay. Well, yeah, we're
getting... Are you going to edit this?
We're getting off the subject here. Let's just keep on going here. Okay, next up we have some tweet quotes. And first up is... Oh, God. I hate when Matt mutes himself. Next up, we have the tweet quote from the counselor. It's been a while since we heard from the counselor. Sir Richard Holmes of the Ulster Unionist Party in Garvagh, Northern Ireland. The only official politician of the podcast. And he wrote, Kirsty, he said, February has been an interesting arc. I wouldn't call it an arc. Would you call it an arc, Matthew?
Sure.
A series?
Series, there we go. Into the solo work of Bruce Dickinson. Have checked out a few tracks, but still struggle with his solo career. There's something about his music being put through the Maiden machine that raises it a level, for me anyway. Let's see here. Ballad, our friend in Ireland. And he said, Most surreal episode ever. Pay attention to this one, Matt.
Okay.
Matt is ill prepared. We are.
Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt is ill prepared, we are led to believe. Suggestion that maybe he hates it, / doesn't rate it. Steve and Kersey are Scooby dubious as to whether he should join. Matt proceeds to give a 5-star review. This album has changed his life, kind of thing. Interesting, huh, Matthew?
It was a very good album.
Someone is else?
It? Spoilers.
Yeah, well. Okay, here we go. The Scouse Chatbot 2.0, Lauren Laird, and she said, here's my rankings, but they're definitely subject to change. Although I've put Many Doors to Hell last, I still really enjoy listening to it. Overall, a really strong album. Man, she made a nice graphic and everything for this, Kersey.
More people. No, it's very professional.
More people should follow her lead. I really should, actually. This is a lot easier. Well,
if I could.
Yeah, if we could, yeah. It's that tech for seniors thing, right? Maybe Matt could. You know what you could do, Matt? You could take a
picture. Matt can do Excel. He can make a spreadsheet.
No. What, Matt, you could get your phone, take a picture of the screen with her thing on it, and then put liquid paper over the screen and write the words there. Then take a picture of that and mail it to me. There you go.
If only you could still get liquid paper.
Yeah. Oh, you can. Yeah, it's kind of hard now to get the real thing. Okay, so she said the rankings as follows. Number 10, Many Doors to Hell. Number 9, she was feeling like Kersey here, Face in the Mirror. Number 8, Fingers in the Wound. Number 7, Afterglow of Ragnarok. Number 6, Kersey, Resurrection Men. Number 5, Rain on the Graves. Number 4, Mistress of Mercy. Number 3, Shadow of the Gods. Number 2, Sonata. And number 1, Her Iron Maiden Bled Through with Eternity Has Failed. Very good. Oh boy. Next up, let's see here. Okay, I'm just going to have to read this. I haven't read it yet. It's a paragraph from the official dinosaur, or the unofficial dinosaur. I'm not sure which one he is right now. Of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Maybe Matt, you'll give this a big thumbs up when I've done reading it. Good God, man, what's so funny?
Oh, I had to shut Twitter down.
Okay. I'm going to quote my own previous review, because who better, really? This is a brilliant and eclectic album. Bruce sounds amazing, strong, energized, and operatic. Resurrection Man is a true standout. Bruce wanted a song with a spaghetti western feel, and he hit it out of the park. Rain on the Graves is more blues country. Reminds one of The Devil Went Down to Georgia and Crossroads. Shadow of the Gods is classic metal, and Afterglow has a more modern metal feel, which means he would probably hate it, right?
Ooh.
Indeed.
Yeah. Probably why that one is my least favorite.
There we go.
I guess, you know, I know my metal brother pretty well here.
Well, it's funny you say that, because listening to the episode that we did last week, during the week, I took on board some of the things that both of you had said. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Sometimes I would agree. Sometimes I didn't. But I remember you talking about the wailings and all this sort of things that did nothing for you.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, really good in that.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay.
Now I'm composed.
Okay. Continued.
Good.
Sonata. Oh,
sorry. I thought you meant me. Continue.
No. Sonata is a very classical and epic Bruce vocal performance. No letdowns. Oh, I remember he called Kersey out when she said, you don't use the words Bruce Dickinson and pitchy in the same sentence or something. This album is a musical feast to a starving man in this modern, musically bereft world. Matthew, do you give this a thumbs up? Will you give Dino a thumbs up on this, Matthew?
I would give Dino a thumbs up.
Okay, yes. good deal. Just making sure. He wants to impress you, so.
Do you know what? I think I've given Dino a thumbs up before.
This feels like an episode that we usually do when I'm not on.
Oh, does it?
Why? Do you know what I mean? It's going to just kind of derailed a little bit.
Yeah, we have a little bit, you know what I mean? I can't help it, you know what I mean? Matthew, he told me that, okay, here, I'll lower the curtain here a little bit. Matthew has told me that he felt like William Shatner was one of the best comedic geniuses of our time. And so just thinking about William Shatner just makes him laugh sometimes. He thinks about the funny things he's done. And right, Matt?
That's pretty fair to say.
You would give William Shatner a thumbs up on the scale of being a comedian, comic guy, right? Well,
not the sort of thumbs up I'd give Dino, but yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Got the official Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, and he said, here's my ranking for now. The album is musically great overall. Looking forward to hearing some crazy opinions. So here's his rankings. Number 10, and I don't remember any of my rankings at all, so. Number 10, Mistress of Mercy. I remember number 10 and number 1. Sorry, I do remember that. Number 9, Sonata. 8, Face in the Mirror. 7, Afterglow of Ragnarok. 6, Eternity Has Failed. 5, Rain on the Graves. 4, Many Doors to Hell. 3, Fingers in the Wounds. 2, Shadow of the Gods. And Kirsty, agreeing with me and you, he has Resurrection Man at number 1.
Cool.
Next up, this is a bizarre one already just by the first sentence. This is from Simeon in France, and he says, great episode. I agree with Matt on how good this album is. Okay, that makes sense. When he said, I agree with Matt, I was like, whoa, something's wrong here.
You had to read the whole sentence.
Yeah. It's too soon for me to rank it, but when I first listened, I would put it 3rd or 4th in the catalog. But I think now it is converging in my first 2 places. And he said, here's my rankings, no bad songs here. Number 10, Mistress of Mercy. 9, Rain on the Graves. 8, Many Doors to Hell. 7, Ragnarok. 6, Face in the Mirror. 5, Fingers in the Wounds. 4, Sonata. 3, Eternity Has Failed. 2, Resurrection Men. And 1, Shadow of the Gods. Metal Kevin Podcasting said, I look forward to the terrific trio revisiting their lists in a month or two, only because they are all so different from mine, or are you suggesting that I am wrong? Surely not. I mean, you know, the guy's got probably, at this rate, what, 80 listens in? So
yeah, under his belt, yeah.
Yeah, so he might know better than us. Okay, so number 10, I can see that me and him agreed on number 10 already. Face in the Mirror at number 10. Number 9, Sonata. 8. No, I had Fingers in the Wounds at number 10, sorry. 8, Fingers in the Wounds. 7, Resurrection Men. 6, Shadow of the Gods. 5, Rain on the Graves. 4, Mistress of Mercy. 3, Afterglow of Ragnarok. 2, Eternity Has Failed. And 1, Many Doors to Hell. That's an interesting list. Uh-oh. Jesse, and he just says, Jesse in Illinois, the Riffweiser, and he said, I have lots of opinions on this one. Some good, some not so good. Still taking it in. Looking forward to hearing yours. And then somebody goes by the Mandrake Project. And maybe it was Bruce Dickinson. And trying to look and see what the order is here because there's no numbers. I'm trying to figure out which one is the 10.
Okay, which one's at the top and which one's at the bottom?
Eternity is at the bottom and Ragnarok at the top. Yeah, it's kind of
They're all good though. It's quite hard to
okay. Yeah. I'm gonna assume this. I don't even know if he listens to the podcast, so if this person does, then they can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm gonna say His number 10 is Eternity Has Failed. 9, Shadow of the Gods. Resurrection Men at number 8. Many Doors to Hell, 7. Sonata, 6. Face in the Mirror, 5. Mistress of Mercy, 4. Rain on the Graves, 3. Fingers in the Wounds, 2. And Ragnarok at 1. The only Bruce album that has no weak songs, he said. Him or her, I don't know if that's a male or a female. So, next up is Daniel Armstrong in Northeast England.
What now?
Are you thinking about William Shatner again?
Nah.
Okay. Okay, so Daniel Armstrong also said no bad songs on this album, and he said number 10, Sonata, 9, Face in the Mirror, 8, Shadow of the Gods, 7, Fingers in the Wounds, 6, Afterglow, 5, Rain on the Graves, 4, Resurrection Men, 3, Many Doors to Hell, 2, Eternity Has Failed, and number 1, Mistress of Mercy. All right. Now, since I accidentally did this twice, let me find the other one I did, Kirsty. I'm glad you told me about it because, yeah, I got to figure out where it's at. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've read most of these already. Okay, it's got to be this one because I found one that hasn't come out yet. So let me go to this one. There's 4 reposts on this one, and the reposts on this one were by Jesse, Lord Andrew of Sussex, the most English of English gentlemen, the Weekend Warrior himself. Kirsty, you did a repost, and I did a repost. And there's 7 tweet quotes here. First off, we have my buddy Anthony in San Antonio, who goes by Anti-Hero Anthony Taylor's Version. And his rankings are as follows. I'm kind of agreeing maybe on what he did here. Number 10, Eternity Has Failed. Number 9, Face in the Mirror. 8, Many Doors to Hell. 7, Afterglow of Ragnarok. 6, Rain on the Graves. 5, Resurrection Men. 4, Fingers in the Wounds. 3, Sonata. 2, Mistress of Mercy. And 1, Shadow of the Gods. Just reading all the song titles making me feel like I want to listen to it again.
Yep.
Thane of the Woods in Indiana. And he said, counting down to number 1, least favorite to most favorite. Sonata at 10. Resurrection Men at 9. Shadow of the Gods at 8. Face in the Mirror at 7. Rain on the Graves at 6. Mistress of Mercy at 5. Fingers in the Wounds at 4. Eternity Has Failed at 3. Many Doors to Hell at 2, and Afterglow of Ragnarok at number 1. Whew. Let me take a little drink here.
There's a lot to get through, isn't there?
A lot of counting. Thank God everyone used numbers. Right, Kirsty?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much longer this would be if there were no numbers?
I don't want to think about it.
This is the list that stood out the most to me because of what was at number 1. And when I saw it, I knew it was my number 10. And I thought, whoa. It's by a guy, Matthew, that laughed so hard at a Bruce Dickinson spoken word show that his abs hurt.
He laughed so hard, it convinced someone else to buy a ticket.
Indeed. Number 10, Rain on the Graves. Number 9, Sonata. 8, Face in the Mirror. 7, Shadow of the Gods. 6, Resurrection Men. 5, Mistress of Mercy. 4, Many Doors to Hell. 3, Afterglow of Ragnarok. 2, Eternity Has Failed. And number 1, Fingers in the Wounds. And, you know, of all people that listened to the album 49 times, Justin is the one I would have expected to say that. Because I remember him saying all he was going to do is listen to the album all day, 10 listens on the first day. And I remember thinking, man, your wife must be really lenient. Okay, next up is the most English of English gentlemen, the Weekend Warrior, Sonya's husband. And he said, great album, difficult to rank as I'm loving the top eight. His bottom two, Matthew, were Rain on the Graves and Afterglow of Ragnarok at 10 and 9. 8, Mistress of Mercy. 7, Many Doors to Hell. 6, Face in the Mirror. Whoa. 5, Sonata. 4, Eternity Has Failed. 3, Resurrection Men. 2, Shadow of the Gods. And also at number 1, Fingers in the Wounds. Those two were going back and forth. I think that's what made me notice it, was I was like, oh my gosh, what did I not notice there? Kirsty, and she said, our initial thoughts on the brand new Bruce Dickinson album, The Mandrake Project. This was 2 days after it was released, and we still attempted to rank the songs.
I got some comments on that saying that we shouldn't be doing such a thing.
Did you? Let's see.
But it's just a bit of fun.
It's just all in fun. Next up, we have Mr. Rambler, who is located the other side of Elsewhere. And his number 10, he just gave us his ranking as well. Eternity Has Failed at number 10. Mistress of Mercy, Face in the Mirror, Rain in the Graves at 7. Fingers in the Wounds at 6. Sonata at 5. Resurrection Men at 4. Many Doors to Hell at 3. Afterglow at 2. And Shadow of the Gods at number 1. The last Queetquote, Matthew, for this episode is from...
Except for the Waffle Zone.
Except for the... Yeah. And he's from everywhere, is Mr. Yanni. Not Yanni, the guy from the back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Not my friend Joel.
Excited Yanni. For a second.
I know. Haven't heard from him in a while. And he literally just said, Eternity Has Failed, followed by Fingers in the Wound. So those must be his top two songs. Okay. Now, Matthew, we have a Waffle Zone to read, and there's probably not nearly as many comments there, though.
Mm.
Let me just, if I can find it. Where's the Waffle Zone from last week? I did a Waffle Zone. There we go. Here we go. Doesn't look like anybody did it. Oh, yeah, we do. We got 8 reposts. The Scouse Chatbot 1.0. David Laird in Liverpool, England. Simeon. Matthew's Man on the Street in Paris, France. Johnny B. 1966 in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Jesse the Riffweiser in Illinois. The Most Handsome Man in Finland. Matthew.
Hey, Bella.
Jinx. That was in harmony there.
Oh, maybe we rehearsed it.
Maybe you did.
Perhaps.
Y'all can't whistle on time, but y'all can say words on time. Very good. Gen Maruyatani, the official Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Kirsty, did you see the picture he posted of his kids sleeping?
Yeah.
That was very cute.
Far back now. Yeah.
I just saw it like yesterday, so very cute pic. And the last person that retweeted it, reposted it, was Kirsty. And we got 4 Queetquotes, Matthew. First off, we have the Scouse Chatbot 1.0, David Laird again. And we had I had mentioned that he met Bruce Dickinson. Him and his daughter had met Bruce Dickinson last week. And he said it was in Manchester. The chatbots had to travel to meet Bruce. It was only 30 miles. It was worth it. See, Simeon, oh boy. Just for Matthew, I'm going to apologize to you, Kirsty. I'm going to read this one just for Matthew.
Okay.
This is from Simeon in France, Matt's Man on the Street. This wasn't a simple waffle. This was a hashtag journey to Paris, where the 103-year-old grandmas attend the weddings. Hashtag marriage. Hashtag grandmother. Hashtag journey. Thank you.
I think he checked all the boxes there.
He checked all the boxes.
I think it's fair enough in these circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. And, okay, I guess I'll read this one, even though it's past time. I'll still read it, because I made a tweet quote. I said, will you be one of the ones to help Uncle Steve out with a birthday greeting for his beloved daughter, Sarah? If so, record yourself with your phone. Just give your name and where you're from and a nice 17th birthday greeting. You can DM it to him here or email it to ironmaidenpodcast@gmail.com. I will say this. If anyone wants to give a belated birthday, you got a few days from the time that this episode comes out to, you know, it would still be appreciated. I wanted her to hear as many voices from as many places as possible. So thought it'd be a nice thing to do. Oh, and I got two quote tweets on that. Let's see what they said. Ah, Kirsty Prince said, done. And Jesse said, cool idea, Uncle Steve. I'll think of something. And let's see here. The last one, Matthew. Oh, Matthew, you're going to like this one.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe more peanuts might be in the mail for you when you hear this one, Matthew.
Would you prepare your eyes?
This is from Metal Kevin Podcasting. And it says, I feel like Uncle Steve and Matt are promoting my podcast more than I am. But it is all very much appreciated. And then listen to this, Kirsty. Fully endorsed by Metal Kevin and the Cavernites.
Oh, wow. Well, Metal Kevin, if you want to send something Matt's way, he likes Vegemite.
Actually, I've got plenty of Vegemite, as it's turned out. Who would have thought?
Yeah. And with that, we're done with this waffle. The shortest waffle ever.
Oh, my God.
It's like a marathon. It's
finally over.
I meant the shortest one in March so far.
Oh, well.
No, actually, no, it won't be the short. Never mind. this is the length of a waffle zone if we ever had me, Matt, and Bruno McDonald together. And maybe Ron Kramer.
God, how long has this gone for?
Too long. Cheers, everybody. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.